Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in today's program, you're going to respond to questions you got from one of our longtime listeners, Sandy McCormick from Macon, Georgia.
Yeah, Scott, we always appreciate it when Sandy writes in. She said she especially enjoyed the program we recently did dealing with the question, what happened to the ark?
Oh, yeah.
And for those who didn't hear that show, Scott, do you want to give the quick abbreviated answer I gave?
Sure, and I should qualify the answer because you made it clear your answer was just your opinion, since there's nothing in the Bible about the fate of the ark after it landed. But basically, you propose that the ark would have been completely dismantled and all that lumber reused to rebuild the structures Noah and his family would use as mankind started civilization all over.
You know, Scott, when you think about it, Noah was most likely the first recycler.
Yes, how progressive. Which reminds me of what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Indeed. Now then, as you said, we have some questions to address, so let's hear them.
Okay, here they are. How can we confirm that the history of Adam and Eve is correct? Was it verbal history? When was it first written down? Could it have been Moses? Praying for you often. Blessings, Sandy McCormick.
Well, thanks, Sandy. Isn't it great, Scott, to know how people are praying for us and this ministry? I'm certain that's the only way Scripture on Creation could continue as long as it has. For how many years?
You know, I'm not sure, Dr. Scripture, but it has to be at least 20 years.
Wow, who would have thought? So to all those who support us in prayer, thank you so much. To God be the glory.
Great things he has done.
Amen. And one of those great things is him preserving his word, which is what we are totally dependent upon in order to have the knowledge of what happened in the beginning, when there was no one around to record history but the Creator himself, which relates to Sandy's question about Adam and Eve. Think about all the events that led up to the moment God breathed into the body of Adam the breath of life, and he became a living being. They were witnessed by no one else but God alone.
Well, and the angels, at least some of them, right?
Good catch, Scott. That's true. Because of what God challenged Job with back in Job 38, we understand the angels were there, most likely on day one, because God asks Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Surely, God is describing what he did there on the first day when he created the substance of the earth. And the morning stars and sons of God, which are names for angelic beings, were singing and shouting as they watched. But just as God was reminding Job that he was not there at the beginning of creation, neither was Adam and Eve. They were the last in line to be created. So everything they saw, even though literally it had just been made within the last few days, everything was already in place. So they would have had to have accepted by faith that God had just created everything in the time frame he revealed, just like Job.
And just like us.
That's right. So how can we confirm that the history of Adam and Eve is correct? Well, first and most importantly, we must acknowledge that it's by faith in God's word. But there is also a reasoned-out confidence which we can have in the integrity of the record written down in God's Word. And I use that word confidence purposefully, because we don't just take a blind leap of faith to come to an understanding, a confidence that what is recorded in the Bible is accurate, both from the scientific perspectives of research in disciplines like astronomy, geology, and biology, and from all the archaeological discoveries that continue to be made, which verify the historical data of the Bible, we can be confident in what the Bible records when it relates to science. And then there is the important evidence of the internal consistency of the Bible, which was written over the period of a minimum of 1,500 years. However, I think we should understand that what the Bible contains was written over a period of at least 4,000 years. Records written by scores of different people through history and yet without contradiction. Such a phenomenon is best explained by the supernatural orchestration of God. It is truly God's word, which, as Peter explained in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, was written by men who, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. But ultimately, in the end, we must make a choice, a decision to trust or not trust what we read in the Bible. Now, having said that, I'm not suggesting that Sandy is doubting inspiration. I think what she is getting at is, how did what God did and how did what Adam and Eve did get recorded and passed on so we have it today? Did they just tell Seth what happened? And Seth told Enosh and his grandchildren about, for example, how God put Adam to sleep. And when he woke up, voila, there's Grandma Eve. If that was the case, how many generations might it have been that the events were simply recounted verbally? Could it have been 10, 20, even 100 over the thousands of years until we know Moses wrote the Pentateuch? If that was the case, I think we might all be pretty skeptical of the accuracy of what got passed down. But what we should understand is there is no reason whatsoever to assume that the events of history, starting from the very beginning, were only transmitted verbally.
Yeah, Dr. Scripture, it seems like that line of thinking comes from the modern secular mindset that only we, evolved modern man, have the ability to write and keep accurate objective records. Those ancient peoples, according to what the evolutionists would claim, were ape men and then cavemen who were hardly able to speak a language, let alone use written language.
Right.
But from a biblical creation mindset, starting with Adam and Eve, the ancient peoples would have been brilliant, genetically perfect, living fantastically long lives, giving them opportunities to discover and develop technologies and abilities we can only imagine in our degraded condition.
I completely agree, Scott. Why wouldn't Adam and Eve write down their own history and the succeeding generations all the way to Noah? Surely Noah would have carefully preserved such records and written down his own to be passed on to posterity. Who else would have written detail like what we find in Genesis chapter 7, starting at verse 11? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. Those details indicate the intent to preserve an accurate historical record. And it just makes common sense that Noah, the one who was there, would have been motivated to save not only his records, but those written and passed on to him by those who lived before the flood. And so then to answer Sandy's other question, when was it first written down? I think the best answer is that it was written down when the events happened. The ancients' memories were probably better than ours.
I'm sure theirs was better than mine.
Well, ditto. But with that said, we record important events for their accurate and objective preservation, revisionist history notwithstanding, which, by the way, is something that has been going on through the millennia. But why wouldn't Adam and Noah and Peleg and Abraham also write their histories down to make sure that an accurate record was preserved?
Now, Dr. Scripture, I have a question related to this idea. I wonder why we have so little of that ancient history recorded for us now. I mean, all those generations, you just mentioned a few of them, but there were lots and lots of them. Mm-hmm. So do you think they may have recorded a lot more than what we have on record now?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the Bible even mentions records that we no longer have. Like the comment Paul makes about the Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses. Paul must have had a source that recorded their names, Jannes and Jambres, but we have no records that go back to the days of Moses that record their names. Another interesting example is recorded in the book of 2 Samuel, which speaks of the book of Jasher. Have you ever heard of that book?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Scott, why don't you read 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 and 18.
Okay, it says, "Then David chanted with this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the sons of Judah the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher."
Now, you might think that that could possibly be another way of spelling Joshua, but I'm going to read now from Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So this proves that the book of Jasher and the book of Joshua are not the same.
Do we know anything else about the book of Jasher other than it is apparently lost?
Not that I know of, but wouldn't it be cool if we did have it?
Yeah.
And yet, for whatever reason, God chose to allow it to disappear. And I'm not at all suggesting that it represents part of God's inspired word, which was lost. What we have is what God wants us to have and is all we need for salvation and teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And perhaps if the book of Jasher had been preserved, God's people might have thought it was inspired, although it was not. So he was protecting his people from error.
Like the error God's people made when they started worshiping that serpent that Moses had lifted up in the desert, which would be why God saw to it that something so valuable was eventually destroyed.
Yeah, that's a great example, Scott. The bronze serpent was still around in the days of King Hezekiah. That's over a 700-year period, but Hezekiah destroyed it. We read about it in 2 Kings 18:4. Hezekiah removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan.
You know, Dr. Scripture, it's no wonder God has not allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be found.
And maybe even Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
You know, it seems if something is really old, people start treating it with undue reverence.
With the possible exception of the Bible. You know, in our day and age, people dismiss it.
Yes, unfortunately, you're right. And that brings us back to our question. When was the record of Adam and Eve first written down? We certainly don't have any written records from the Ark. But I am convinced we have translations of the copies of what Noah preserved on the ark. The record of creation and the fall would surely have been written down by Adam. The genealogies, the Toledoths as they are called, would have been kept by the generations leading up to the flood. Those written records, along with those of Abraham's and Joseph's, were probably used by Moses through the inspiration of God to compile the historical record in the first book of Moses, the book of Genesis. Can we confirm its accuracy? As much as we can confirm anything ever written, I submit we can be confident in the written record of the Bible, all the Bible. But in the end, it requires a choice to believe or not to believe. It's the very same decision Jesus spoke of to Nicodemus, who was asking questions of Jesus about spiritual realities. Listen to Jesus' words in John 3:11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.